word for word translation. Na, not. Ata, after this. Paltara, greater. Loke, in this world. Pumsa, of the living entities. Sva artha, interest. Vyatikramaha, obstruction. Yadadi, beyond that. Beyond that. Anyasya, of others. Prayasvam, to be more interesting. Atmana, for the self. Sva, own. Vyatikramat, by obstruction. Translation: there is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Human life is especially meant for self-realization. Self refers to the super-self and the individual self, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. When, however, one becomes more interested in the body and bodily sense gratification, he creates for himself obstructions on the path of self-realization. By the influence of Maya, one becomes more interested in sense gratification, which is prohibited in this world for those interested in self-realization. Instead of becoming interested in sense gratification, one should divert his activities to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Soul. Anything performed contrary to this principle is certainly against one's self-interest. Om Agyan Timiran Dhasya Kyanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sambhuta Kadamahyam Kadapi Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Kadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, there is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. So, in this chapter, Prithu Maharaj is meeting the Kumaras, and in the last few verses, Sanat Kumar is giving instructions to Maharaj Prithu. And he's elaborating on the situations, the conditions that a living entity faces. And he talks about various things such as false designations that a living entity takes up. And then the attachments that he creates for themselves based on those designations. And then he also talks about, in the last verse, like they were talking about how the remembrance is lost when eventually a person becomes attached and is involved in all these false upadhis or designations that we take up. So this verse is more like a summary of all of that, and Sanat Kumar has put it all together and said that these matters are very distracting. They are very distracting for those who want to engage in self-realization. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that self-realization and sense gratification, they go ill together. If you are doing sense gratification, then you cannot do self-realization. As is mentioned in this verse, Sanat Kumar is saying it will get in the way of your self-realization. So they are like two sides of a river. If you see a running river, it has two banks, and those two banks will never meet. So you can either be on the side where there is sense gratification, or you can be on the side where there is self-realization. There is no shortcut, and there is no middle way. And Srila Prabhupada also clearly mentions that they go ill together. there is a story, more like an allegory, where Narad Muni actually once goes to the Bhuloka. He comes here and then he sees that a lot of people in Jagannath Puri, they're going to Lord Jagannath's temple. And they're thronging there in hundreds and thousands. And they're waiting there the whole day and the whole night to take darshan of the Lord. And they're singing glories of the Lord. And the eagerness is very great to see the Lord. And then he goes to Tirupati. Even there he sees people are standing in long queues and waiting for so a long time to take darshan of the Lord. And he sees they're chanting Govinda, Govinda. And they are eager to take darshan of the Lord. Even for a moment, if they can take darshan, they feel very happy and satisfied. So he thinks, is this really Kali Yuga, where all the people are just thronging to temples and they are spending so much of their time to go to the temples and take darshan of the Lord? And so he comes back to Vaikuntha and he says to Lord Narayan, my dear Lord, there are some people who are actually very dedicated to you and I want to bring some of them here to you. So Lord Narayan smiles and he says, why some of them? You can bring all of them here if they want to come. So he goes back and he makes an announcement. He says, I'm here to take all of you to Vaikuntha, all of you pious people dedicated to the Lord, please come with me. So the people look at him and then they just turn away and walk off. But he doesn't give up. He makes a few more announcements. Please come, I will take you to Vaikuntha. And you are taking darshan of the Lord here. There you will be able to take darshan of the Lord all the time. You will be living with the Lord in the association of the Lord. So then this one person comes and he says, okay, I will come with you to Vaikuntha. So he says, okay, but let me pack my bags and bring my things and then I will come with you. So Narayan Muni says, that is not needed. All facilities are available in Vaikuntha planets. So you just please come with me. So then this person starts thinking for a moment and he says, when can I take my family with me? He says, no, you can come just yourself. And then he says, so when are you coming back? And Narayan Muni says, there is no coming back because you are going to the spiritual world, you are going to live with Lord Narayan. And then he says, no, then I'm not coming with you. I have my whole program here, my family, my children, everything is here. How can I leave all that and come with you? So then Narayan Muni is confused. They are all there in the temples and they are thronging the temples and they are so seriously taking darshan of the Lord. But when they are asked to come to Vaikuntha, none of them wants to come. So then he goes inside a temple and he sees this particular person who is coming to the temple every day. So he's standing there with folding hands and Narayan Muni wants to observe what kind of prayers are they making. So this person is an elderly person. He stands there with folded hands in front of Lord Narayan and he says, my dear Lord, you have been very kind to us. Because of your mercy, my daughter has got married. She's happily settled. My son is running a very nice business. And by your mercy, my health and my wife's health is going fine. Everything is going very nicely. It is a very nice program. It is all your mercy. Thank you so much. And then he leaves. And then the next person comes. He's a student. And he's in great anxiety. He's not happy like this elderly person. And he says, my dear Lord, I have my exams. So please help me pass the exams. And then the Lord blesses, okay, exams are passed. And then he comes next year again. I have my second year exams, my dear Lord, please help me pass. Okay, the Lord grants, okay, you pass exams. In this way, he has cleared his final year. Now he says, I have done my engineering, and now I'm looking for a job. I can't find a job, now you please find me a job. And then the Lord says, the task two, okay, you get your job. He gets his job. And then he says, okay, I've got a job. I'm 28 years now, I can't find a wife. You please find me a suitable wife. And then the Lord says the task to. So he finds a wife. So then Narayan Muni is wondering and he's watching what this is. These people, they come to the temple of the Lord to only ask for their material desires. They're either asking for the facility for sense gratification or direct sense gratification. They are not concerned or asking about who the Lord is. What are his qualifications? Where does he live? And how to get out of this cycle of birth and death. None of them were at all concerned about these serious questions about life. So this is the situation that is present in Kali Yuga of all those people who go to the temples these days. And in the pastime of Narsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj actually very clearly mentions, and in very detailed, in great detail he's mentioned the condition of living entity and how he's attached to various aspects of material life. And he's telling Hiranyakashipu, his father, he's only a 5-year-old boy, and Prahlad Maharaj has not seen life. He hasn't actually lived and gone through. He is only a young boy, 5 years, but he has this great understanding. You see, and this is actually considered the highest intelligence, that you don't have to actually go through something to be able to analyze whether it is good or bad. So he was able to give his father such great knowledge. And in one of the shlokas, he actually mentions, you know, that such people, he says, Matir na Krishne Parta Satova, that the intelligence of these people is such that Mati na Krishne, that in their mind, Krishna consciousness or spirituality will not take root. Why? Even by the own efforts or by the efforts of others. Parata Svatova, or combined efforts. Mitho Pibhateta Griha Ratana, because they have taken a strong vow of materialistic life. Adant Gobhir Vishitamta Mishram means Adant Gobhir, uncontrolled senses. Because of their uncontrolled senses, Vishitamta Mishram, they are progressing towards hellish life. Punah Punas Charita Charvanana, again and again, they have enjoyed their senses over the same things. But because of the illusion created by Maya, they are again chewing the chew. They are again and again engaging in sense gratification, getting burnt, but then again doing it, and again getting burnt, again suffering. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj explains the condition of these people. And then Prabhupada mentions, it is like a disease. Why they can't take up, even when others are giving instructions, and even when they, their own effort they are making? Because their senses have become so tuned to just sense gratification that anything else is very distasteful. Just as Srila Prabhupada explains that for a person who is in a diseased condition, like someone who has jaundice, if you give him a sugar candy, something very sweet, even that will taste bitter to that person. So similarly, when these people are given the holy name of the Lord, when they're asked to chant or to do some spiritual activity, they get irritated. It's very distasteful to them. So the senses are so tuned to doing the materialistic activities. But if you see, in one sense, these senses, we have these 5 senses, ears, eyes. The ears they want to hear pleasing sounds. The eyes, they want to see beautiful forms. The nose, it wants to smell nice aroma. And tongue wants to taste. And skin wants to touch. So these senses are actually a way of communicating with the outside world. You see, we absorb information through our ears and eyes and nose. And then we process it in our mind. So the senses are there. The senses in itself are not the culprit. But the way we have trained them to be used, that is what makes the whole difference. The information given by the senses, when it is processed by the mind and then acted upon by the intelligence, that is where the entire difference lies. And these senses are actually very strong, and they can lead us into dangerous situations if not tamed, if not used in the service of the Lord. And the scriptures give us so many examples. In the pastime of Ajamil, we see that he only had a few moments association. A few moments he saw that this lady was with this man in the forest. And Ajamil is a Brahmin boy. He comes from a very pious family. He and his father used to go to the houses of the people doing yajnas for the pleasure of the Lord. So he had these Brahminical qualities in him from birth, and it naturally came to him. So when someone like him could succumb to such a situation, that a few moments visual impact. So his father had sent him to the forest to collect some paraphernalia for a yajna, some flowers, some wood. And there he sees this man and woman embracing together. And that visual impact, a momentary impact, it takes such a strong impression on his mind that he starts contemplating on it. And then while he's contemplating on it, he gets to an extent, he develops a desire to be with this woman. See how senses, just a few moments of visual impact, made him mad. He actually lost all sense of civility to such an extent that he abandoned his parents and he abandoned his young and chaste wife to be with this lady. And then, not just that, to please this lady, he committed such sinful activities the whole of his life. Killing people, stabbing people, stealing their money, just to make her happy. So you see how just a few moments of visual impact, what did it do? It completely changed his life. So this is why Srila Prabhupada always warns us, he says, don't read these magazines and newspapers. He was actually holding a newspaper, a magazine, and he was reading it, and he said, oh, this is very distracting, and he just threw it on the floor. Because you see how when you start reading, it just captures your mind and it starts, you know, having an effect on your consciousness. So he warns us, he says, anything, that whatever you see visually has a great impact on you. So we have to be very careful where we see and what we see. And another example is that of Vishwamitra. Now Vishwamitra Muni was a great sage. And he was a very determined person because he had enmity with Vasishtha Muni and he was actually a great king. But he felt that Brahma Shakti, that the Shakti that a Brahmana has, that a Vaishnava has, is greater than that of a king. So he decided to become a Brahmin. He decided to become a Vaishnava. And he said, okay, I will engage in austerities to gain the same power that Vasishtha Muni had. So his determination was very strong. And then Lord Indra got worried when he saw his austerities. So to distract him, he sent Menaka from the heavenly planets. And when Menaka came to the earth, and Vishwamitra was still performing austerities. His eyes were closed, and he was deep in trance. But all that he heard was the tinkling of the ankle bells of Menaka. Now just the sound, and what was happening, just the sound, vibration of the tinkling bells he heard, and his mind, in the mind's eye, he was already contemplating on the form of a woman. You see, just by hearing the sound, this is how powerful the senses are in the mind, is that just one sense, one little bit ignition, and in the mind there is a fire going on. And this is what happened, and in the end he was disregarding this sound. He was trying to focus and concentrate, but when continuously kept playing on his mind, he finally gave in. And then he married Menaka, and they even had a girl, Shakuntala, a baby girl. So in this way, we have to understand that the mind, the senses are very strong, and they can immediately distract us and take us into a situation which can have serious consequences in our life. And out of all these, the form is very dangerous, just like in this case. It leads to lust in the mind. And Srila Prabhupada also says that if you can overcome lust, 50% of the battle is won. 50%, which means anger, envy, pride, illusion are the rest 50%. But this 50%, if you can somehow overcome, then a lot of it is done. You've done a major part of your determination. You can be strong. And then Prahlad Maharaj, I was reading passing of Prahlad Maharaj because Narasingha Dev Chaturdashi is on this coming Saturday. And then he also explains, he says that I'm worried about these people because he says, my dear Lord Narasingha Dev, I'm not at all worried about my own self because wherever I go, I'm engaged in your glories, in chanting your glories and your pastimes. But I'm worried about these fools and rascals, he says, that I am not afraid of this material energy of yours. I am not afraid of this illusory energy of yours, which is all the time trying to distract us. Tvat virya, I am always chanting your glories. That is why magna chitta, my mind is always absorbed in that. Soche tatho vimukha cheta saindriyata. Soche, I'm thinking about these people, vimukh, who have actually turned away from you. Soche tatho vimukha cheta saindriyata. Maya sukhaya bharam udhuto vimudham. These people. people who have actually taken, I'm worried about these people who are leading a materialistic life and maintaining families, societies and countries in pursuit of happiness. You see, because all around us, what do we see? We see family. We all want to be part of a society, a community, and then we live in a country. The modern day world in Kali Yuga actually has left us no options. Is there anything else that you can do? There's nothing else available. You know, a child just grows up, it gets educated, gets married, have children, and then he worried about their running after their children, and then those children grow up, and you grow old, and then you die. This is, and this goes on for every individual. It's the same story. What's new? That's why you see, it's you know, chewing the tune again and again. In every lifetime, you're doing the same thing, but it just doesn't occur to us that there is something else to life than justice. So then, when we understand the situation is so serious, and when such saints and sages of such high caliber fell prey to the relentless allurements of Maya, then what is our condition? What is our situation? It is very dangerous. Although we may be practicing devotees, but what is the chance that we will last? You see that so many did not last. We may also not last. There are so many devotees who practice for 10 years, 20 years, and then they disappear. We don't see them. So then what is the condition? What should we do? What is the remedy? So then, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, how he mentions in the third verse, Utsahan Nishtaya Dhairyat. We'll have to have a lot of enthusiasm and determination in a devotional life. And patience. The very first, these three. So determination is very important. If we are not determined, if we are not sincere in our efforts, it is very difficult for us to stay in this path. You see, because the whole world is doing one thing and we devotees are trying to do another thing. It is like going against the flow of a very rough and fast river. How can we survive? We will give in eventually. If we are weak, we will give in. So, excuse me. So, Satchimandan Maharaj quotes a pastime from Katha Upanishad on this, on how to develop determination and what should be your determination like. And he mentions that there is a little boy. He is the son of a rishi and his name is Nichiketa. So Nichiketa is the son of this Brahmin, this sage who wants to do a big yagya once. So he does this big yagya. And then he calls everyone and he wants to give charity. Cows, gold, other things. So while he's giving charity, then Nichiketa is by his side and he sees that his father is giving in charity very old cows. Some of them have their leg broken, some of them can barely see, and the old cows, and they don't even give milk. And he's actually declaring, oh, come everybody, come. I'm actually giving my best possessions. I'm giving away all my possessions. And Nichiketa is wondering, is it my father is not really telling the truth? And he's giving bad cows and he's saying he's giving his best possessions. So he says to his father, am I not your valuable possession? Why don't you give me away? So the father looks at him once and he just ignores him and then he continues to give these cows away. And then Nichiketa again says, my dear father, I'm also your valuable possession. Why don't you give me away? So he continues like this for a few times, he says it, and then Nichiketa's father gets upset, he gets angry. He says, what do you know about life? And to know about life, you should first know about what death is. Okay, I will give you in charity to Yama, to Yamaraj, to the Lord of Death. So Nichiketa was actually a very spiritually inclined boy, and he was a seeker of the truth. So when he heard this, he said, okay, I take it as your instruction. You want me to go to Yamaraj? I will do so. You have given me charity to him, so then I will go to him. So he leaves and he goes to Yamaraj, to Yamaraj's house. Now when he goes there, Yamaraj is not home. And his wife sees that this little boy has come to him. So he So he's waiting outside. So she tries to offer him some food, some water, but he says, "No, I'm not hungry." And then one day passes. It's the next day, and Yamaraj still hasn't come back. So Yamaraj's wife is concerned. He's there. He's their guest, and he's sitting outside, and he's not. He asks me, "My dear son, do you want some water, some food? What can I offer you? What would you like?" He says, "No, nothing. I'm not hungry." So this is the second day passes. And third day, she again tries to offer him something to eat, but he doesn't eat or drink anything. So for 3 days, he's sitting there. And fourth day, Yamaraj finally comes back. And then his wife says, he says, "People don't like coming to you, and you have to send Yamas to bring them to you. Here this young boy has himself come to you, and then he wouldn't even take anything. So I'm very concerned. So please find out what he wants and give him what he wants." And then Yamaraj also feels, he says, "This boy had to wait 3 days. He has come to my house, he's my guest, and he had to wait 3 days, and that's not good. This is like an insult or neglecting a guest like this. It's an offense." So you see, Yamaraj also, when somebody comes to his house, he is considering this fact that the guest has become neglected. So he's concerned, and he says to the boy, "My dear boy, you can ask for 3 boons. Because I have neglected you for 3 days, and you have to wait for me for 3 days, so please, if you can ask 3 boons, I will grant them to you." So then Nichiketa says, the first boon he asks for, he says, "My father is very angry with me, and I don't want him to be angry with me. He's my father, and I love him, but out of anger he has sent me here. He didn't mean it. So I want that when I go back, he should recognize me, and he should welcome me. He shouldn't be upset with me." So Yamaraj says, "Yes, granted." And so you see how he was very compassionate. Even though his father was angry with him, he was trying to make amends and fix that relationship. He was very compassionate and kind. So, and then the second boon he says, "What is it that is needed to be done to go to that land where people enjoy unlimited opulence and unlimited pleasures, both physical and mental? What is that land and how to get there?" So Yamaraj says that land is called heavenly planets. You can enjoy for a long time unlimited pleasures of all kinds. So he says, "Okay, what is the way of getting to that land?" So then Yamaraj explains to him the process, the yajna, the sacrifice that needs to be made, and if you do that, then you can go to the heavenly planets. And he says, "Since you are the first one who has asked me, I will name it after you." So that is called Nichiketa Agni. That sacrifice is called Nichiketa Agni. And then now the third boon. So Yamaraj asks him, "Okay, you ask the third boon now." So he asks the third boon, he says, "I have heard that some people say that after death they go to heaven. Others say they go to hell. Third say that is the end. Nothing lies after that. Whereas some say that there is actually no death. So since you are the god of death, can you please explain to me what happens after death and what actually is death?" Now when Yamaraj heard this question from a boy, he thought that maybe it will be too much for him. So he said, "My dear boy, you ask me for elephants and horses. I'll give you those. You enjoy those. That is the third boon I can grant you. Don't worry about these philosophical questions, because even demigods and great philosophers have not been able to understand after great analyzing." But Nichiketa was very firm. He said, "My father said that I cannot understand life till I don't understand death. So please, I want to understand what is death. Otherwise, my father will think that I don't know anything about life." So he was very determined. Then Yamaraj said, "Okay, I'll give you all the 3 worlds. Take all the palaces, beautiful damsels, gold, pearls, whatever you want, I'll give you that." The boy said, "You are giving me all these things which are so temporary. They will all end. Why are you giving me these? If I don't understand death, how will I understand life?" So you see, he was determined to understand. That one sentence that his father uttered, it made him very determined. He said, "How can you understand life if you don't understand death?" And he was very determined. He said, "No, you please give me what I've asked you for, nothing else." So Yamaraj, in a way, was also testing him, that this boy, is he really capable of understanding this philosophy? How much depth and determination does he have to understand what he wants? So then he explains the philosophy of life and life after death. He explains the self and the super self. So he says that there are two kinds of entities. One who engage in shreyas, one who engage in prayas. Shreyas means who they want to engage in ananda, in bliss. And in prayers, those who want temporary, flickering happiness. So in this way, he had great discussion about life after death, about self-realization, about what happens to the soul after death, and how it travels into different bodies, and how those who do not engage in material life, how they travel into spiritual realms, and what their destination is. So then Sachinandan Maharaj explains that this boy had such great determination for this knowledge, you see. And then Prabhupada says, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. We have to have this intense curiosity to put aside all the material activities and to be curious about our self-realization. And also Sanat Kumar see here, he clearly says that anybody who is interested in self-realization should not become distracted by any other subject matter. Anything else is just a waste of time. So we all know that we have this mind, we have these senses, and we are practicing devotees. We are trying to engage. And just like this boy Nichiketa, we should have the determination. But along with the determination, what do we need? We may be very determined in our devotional life, in our activities, daily activities. But then at the same time, we need the mercy of the Lord. Without the mercy of the Lord, all our efforts are in vain. So then, that is possible. You see, some of these prayers written by our acharyas, especially Narottam Das Thakur, is written beautiful prayers, which can put us in that prayerful mood, in that mood in which we are begging for mercy. You see, Narottam Das Thakur writes this prayers for Lord Nityananda. And he says, Nitai Pad Kamala, Koti Chandra Shu Shitala, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are like the their shoes, they're millions and they're like millions, cooling like millions and millions of moons. You see, why we need cooling? Because we are suffering from the unlimited fire of material desires. We have unlimited material desires in our heart, and we are burning in those desires, in the fire of those desires. And that is why, take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Beg to at his lotus feet that he can, if somehow, mitigate these desires and help us take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And Narottam Das Thakur further prays that without Eno Nita Vina Bhai Radha Krishna Paite Nai, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you cannot get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. It's not possible. You see, out of all the personalities standing on the altar, the little ones, and on the altar, the big ones, the most merciful is Lord Nityananda. So beg mercy from the lotus feet of the Lord that somehow or the other, please help to fix our mind on the Lord. Please help to fix our mind on the holy name. Like Burijan Prabhu, he says, he really emphasizes on power of prayers. He says that if you're chanting the holy name and the mind is running here and there and you're not able to listen, he said immediately start praying to Lord Nityananda. You can't hear the mantra, but in your mind pray to Lord Nityananda, my dear Lord, help me. Help me to focus my mind on hearing the mantra. So in this way, if we pray to Lord Nityananda, then he will help us to focus our mind. Because this incarnation, the very incarnation that he has come in, is to deliver the sinful souls like us. And he even reminds Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he's about to kill Jagai Madhai, that don't kill them, you just have to purify them. Bless them that they can take to devotional life. And then that's what Mahaprabhu did. So such is the mercy of the Lord that Lord Nityananda, even though he was hurt and offended by Jagai and Madhai, he forgave them. He forgave them. Such immense mercy and forgiveness. So this forgiveness only Lord Nityananda can have. And then Narottam Das Thakur further says, he actually elaborates, he says that सही संबंध नहीं यार वृथा जन्म गेलो तो वी हैव स्पेंट दिस होल लाइफ विदाउट बिल्डिंग अ रिलेशनशिप विद यू माय डियर लॉर्ड नित्यानंद एंड इन दैट वे वी आर लाइक सही पशु वी आर लाइक अ एनिमल दुराचार वी आर लाइक अ वेरी क्रूअल एंड रेकलेस एनिमल वी बिहेव लाइक दैट यू सी व्हेन यू सी आवर बिहेवियर वी मे नॉट सी इट बट आस्क अदर्स हाउ मेनी पीपल जस्ट बिकम ऑफेंडेड बाय द वे वी कंडक्ट आवर सेल्व्स दे मे नॉट से इट But it is very offensive. So, and we may not even be aware because we are so absorbed and so engrossed in ourselves. But when we take shelter of Lord Nityananda, then he the devotional qualities that we develop, that helps us develop a good conduct. To even develop good conduct is not possible these days because when we become completely selfish, engrossed in our own attachments and desires, we will not do good to anyone because all we see is the self. We don't see others. So then in this way, and he says, Narottam Das Thakur says that ahankara matta hoya, because what is the root cause? The false ego, my pride. Because of my pride, what have I done? I have completely forgotten me. I have asat tera satya kori mali. Whatever was untrue, whatever was not there, I am thinking that to be the reality. I am thinking that to be the reality and whatever is the truth that I have completely ignored. I have no idea what the truth is. So, we should all try to develop a mood of a prayerful mood, which is only possible that when we sincerely reflect upon what we have, what this human life is meant for. And then, slowly and slowly, Lord Nityananda is very merciful. Slowly and slowly as you pray to them and you take shelter of the acharyas and their bhajans, their beautiful bhajans they have written to develop this prayerful mood, then we will be able to succeed in our spiritual life. I will stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections. Yes, ma'am.
Can you explain how intensity and prayerful mood is very important?
Yeah.
But a little practicing devotional is like it's very comfortable and happy time that you're blissful, that sort of thing. But we miss the intensity sometimes because you're so comfortable, happy that the prayers will be varied, but the mood of the prayer is not there.
Yeah.
How to develop that intensity?
Okay, so we become very happy and comfortable in a devotional life, engaged in activities, but the intensity is missing. So how to develop that intensity? So that is why these prayers by these acharyas are very important. Read the prayers of these acharyas and they will help you develop that prayerful mood. They will help you, they'll situate you where you will think and reflect. You see, like Kesha Prabhu always says that a devotee should always be dhira, should always be sober. You see? And when you are sober, when you are dhira, you will develop a taste to sing these bhajans, to understand the deeper meaning lying in these bhajans. And when you do that, then you're not only getting the mercy of the acharyas, you're getting the mercy of the Lord as well. And that will help. So find time to read these bhajans and to internalize them. To see the, try to reflect on the mood that they've mentioned in this bhajan, because it's very deep. It's very deep. And slowly we all will be able to develop the same mood. There must be other ways, but I personally find the bhajans, the Bengali bhajans by Narottam Das Thakur very, very inspiring and they're very deep. And they really change you from inside. They change you because he actually mentions, like he says clearly, he says, all my life I have not bothered to maintain to build a relationship with you. All I have done is just like an animal, I'm just running around trying to fulfill my desires. So clearly he has mentioned what we are doing and what we are supposed to do. And then it was helpful. It helps. Anything else? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की।